March at Castle.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
The government's crackdown on junk food may about to hit fruity yogurts. Concerns are apparently mounting among yogurt manufacturers that they will be forced to reformulate their products to fit in with the government's proposed approach to deciding whether foods are junk foods or not. Junk foods are the ones that are high in fat, salt, or sugar. And foods that are high in those ingredients cannot be advertised on TV before 9 p.m. and any time online. Under plans that are the latest push in Labour's clampdown on unhealthy food, the definition of junk food would be extended to the natural sugars found when mashing or pureeing fruits. And that would mean that yogurts with fruit in would be reclassified as unhealthy. Joe Travers is a nutritionist and author of The Low-Fad Diet and joins us on the line now. Hello, Joe.
Hi there.
What do you make of the government crackdown on unhealthy foods?
I'm actually really pleased about it, and particularly this focus on yogurts, because yogurt is a healthy food, but when loads of sugar gets added to it, it can actually tip over into being something that's not as healthy and actually even into the unhealthy range.
Yeah, some yogurts are fine, isn't it? It's the ones that are stuffed with sugar that are the problem, and they're made that way because, unless I'm getting this wrong, scientists have determined the ideal ratio of sugar, fat and salt that will light up our brains. They're meant to be addictive,
exactly.
Aren't they?
Yeah, so it's actually nicknamed the bliss point. And they don't usually occur together, sugar and fat or salt and fat, in nature. So we don't. So when we get them together, it is amazing for our brains. And it tastes great. And when you eat something that's sugary and fatty, it is amazing. It's a great experience. But the trouble is, when we have those foods all of the time, actually, it really does kind of cause problems.
Danone, one of the major manufacturers, they say that any policy must be based realistically on how food is produced and eventually chosen by customers. Their point is that they are essentially just giving customers what they want. But is it more that they are giving customers what they've trained the customer to desire?
Yeah, and also it makes it very, very difficult when all that is on offer and in the supermarkets, for example, is unhealthy. And when you add lots of sugar to something, it does make it more desirable, but it also makes it really difficult for the consumer, because what are we supposed to choose? Are we supposed to choose like the one that's got the brightest color packaging or whatever? It's a really, really difficult decision to make. So if we have some regulation, what it ensures is that our food system is fair and it's easy to navigate.
I mean, instead of whining about it, the manufacturers could just put less sugar in their products, couldn't they? I mean,
absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. That is exactly right. And we've seen how this can work, actually, in the fizzy drink sugar so-called sugar tax. That's exactly what happened. Manufacturers just lowered the amount of sugar and people didn't even really notice that much. It's happened with salt as well. So, you know, this kind of regulation can actually make a big difference.
Yeah, the sugar tax is 8 years old, isn't it? That was a tax on sugary drinks. And the manufacturers wailed at the time that but they're still in business. And they just changed the formulation to avoid the tax. And now the sugar content in those drinks has been cut by half. So that's a great success, isn't it?
It is a great success, yes. So we can definitely do more of this. And yes, manufacturers, it is a pain for them to have to reformulate. But do you know what? So what? What we need is a food system that is not broken. And this is part of the picture. It's all of our responsibilities to eat better. But it's very difficult to eat better when the food landscape is so, you know, tricky to navigate.
Yes. I mean, I'm sure that Danone could afford to reformulate their products. They made sales of 27.3 billion euros last year. So I'm sure if they scrabbled around in the back of the sofa, they could find the money to pay the scientists to do the work.
I agree, yeah. They could just pay the lobbyists less money and then...
Right. Do you think that people realise quite how much sugar is in fruit yogurts?
No. And it is true that yogurt is a healthy food. It's got protein, it's got calcium in it. But it is really difficult when you go to the supermarket and see all of those yogurts there, because most of them have lots and lots of sugar in, and even just the ones with real fruit in. Unfortunately, when you puree the fruit and you cook it up and you add some sugar to it, it becomes something that is actually very, very sugary, and it can spike our blood sugar. It can have cause problems for our teeth. So, yeah, I think people really don't realise that these are unhealthy.
I looked at the ingredients of a couple of the more popular yogurts before I came on, and I was surprised myself that for your average priced kids variety yogurt, it's 9% sugar. For one of those ones aimed at adults' lunchtimes with a stir-in fruit compote, it's 13% sugar. And as an example, a can of cola is 10%. So it's as sugary, if not more, than drinking cola.
Yeah, it is slightly better than cola. Well, it's a lot better than cola because you've got some other things in there as well, like protein and calcium. But some yogurt and dairy products themselves do have some sugars in them. But it's not those intrinsic sugars that are the problem. It's when we add loads of stuff to them. So even if you see, like, look at the back of a packet of Greek natural yogurt, you're going to see some sugar in there. That's fine. We don't need to worry about that sugar. It's the added sugars that are the real problem.
Right, so what is the sugar in that then?
It's actually called lactose. It's a type of sugar that's basically in milk. It's in there, there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, you can take the lactose out, but generally speaking, it is just in dairy products anyway. But it doesn't have an impact on our blood sugar, and it doesn't have an impact on our teeth. It's all part of that dairy product. So it's not causing us problems. The problems come when we add sugar to it, or we add fruit purees, which has fructose and other sugars in it as well. That's where the problem happens. And that's why it's sort of nuanced. It's not as clear cut as we would perhaps like it to be.
And there's so many yogurts now that claim that they are fat-free and sugar-free. Mm-hmm. To my taste buds, they're just horrible. They're very popular. But are they actually better for you? Because haven't they replaced the fat and the sugar with other things that taste like fat and sugar?
Yeah, they are not better for you. When you take the fat out, you lose a lot of the texture, you lose some of the flavour, you lose some of the fat, which is actually, you know, good for us. It gives us energy and it's very satisfying. When you take the sugar out, when you take the fat out, you need to add in something else to make it more palatable. And generally what they would do is add sugar or add sweeteners. And sweeteners come with their own sort of different, interesting, weird tastes and aftertastes. So it can actually turn something that's really delicious when you're having a full fat Greek yogurt into something that is kind of quite insipid, actually has a horrible aftertaste because of those sweeteners that get added as well. And it stops it from being a good whole food and turns it into something that is less like food.
Does it also confuse the body? Because the body will detect that something is sweet, therefore expect mm-hmm. that sort of sugar rush. And when it doesn't come, does that create a problem of its own?
So there is some evidence, this is being studied quite widely now. At first, we thought that sweeteners were totally neutral. They were great because they didn't have any calories in them, but they still tasted sweet. But now we're actually seeing that there are some issues with it. So it can have some issues with our gut health. But also what is hypothesized is that when we have something sweet in our mouth, the brain recognizes that and starts to release insulin. That can cause sugar crashes. And so we can end up feeling quite like rubbish after we eat these things. We don't get that energy hit that we're supposed to. So it's all very, like you say, a kind of confusing picture. Much better, if you want to have something sweet, and you want to have yogurt that's sweet, get a full-fat Greek yogurt and add some berries to it. It is delicious.
What do you think of these milk substitutes? I mean, they started quite small, but they're all over supermarket now. And a lot of them seem to be quite laden with sugar themselves.
Some of them are, some of them aren't. So unsweetened soy milk is actually fairly close nutritionally to dairy milk. It's got some protein in it, but and they usually add the minerals that would be missing. So calcium, for example, and iodine. Some of them, though, particularly the kind of barista varieties, do have some sugar added to them, and lots of them are sweetened. other ones like almond milk, for example, it doesn't really have any protein in it, and so it's not the same nutritional profile as dairy milk would be. So they are different, but they are fairly good. They're better for the environment. So they have some pros and they have some cons as well. If somebody can't have dairy for whatever reason, actually they're a great substitute. But I personally prefer dairy.
Do they fall into the ultra-high processed food category, those milk substitutes?
Some of them do. That doesn't necessarily mean they're bad for us. So some foods that the current definition of ultra-processed is really tricky because lots of foods fit into that category, but they might not necessarily be actually bad for us. So I think at the moment there's some work being done on how we can like tell the difference between an ultra-processed food that's not that bad for us and an ultra-processed food that is actually going to cause us lots of problems. So yeah, at the moment we are still in a bit of limbo with that.
You know, the fight back against sugar has been resisted greatly, but it's the government seems to be doing the right thing by many measures and is increasing it. But we're not alone in fighting back against food companies that are adding to the obesity problem. A sugar tax is present in almost half the countries on Earth, and yet obesity is getting worse. So is it possible that sugar actually isn't the enemy?
Sugar is just one part of it. And actually, what we see is that even something like white bread that you would get in a supermarket or a baguette will have the same impact on our blood sugar and actually cause the same amount of weight gain as if you were having some sugar. So it's actually probably more to do with the amount of carbohydrates, and particularly those refined carbohydrates, the ones that have had all the fiber taken out of them, that are causing these issues. It is not just sugar. Sugar is just one part of the problem.
Right. And it's the way they're mucking about with food, it sort of tricks the body into thinking it's not satiated. You don't get that sense of being full, do you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So particularly with things like when you're taking the fat out of something to make it a low-fat product, actually the body then doesn't feel very satisfied. Fat has a very good mouthfeel and it sets off kind of chemical pathways in our body that make us feel full. The body knows when it's had fat. When it's missing, you're not satisfied. You're looking for the next thing. This is even bigger problem when you're having some refined carbohydrate without that fat or without that protein. And the blood sugar will spike and then crash. And then again, that makes us feel hungry. So we can be in, if you're not eating good balanced food with lots of fiber and the good fats from it, actually you can end up just being hungry all the time and eating lots of food and never really feeling satisfied.
Do you have an opinion on the government's insistence that junk food advertising on TV before 9 p.m. is banned?
To be honest, I don't know that. I mean, I've got two kids and they don't really watch TV.
That was going to be my point. Yeah, that's right.
So, to be honest, it's very rare that we will sit down and watch television together anyway. They will stream something where there's no adverts, or maybe they'll be online. So, honestly, it's a step in the right direction, but it's fairly minor, really.
In conclusion, do you think a good rule of thumb for what you eat on a daily basis should be that if your granny would not have recognised it, don't eat it?
I think that is a good rule of thumb. It does work quite well. I mean, if it looks like its original form, that is a great place to start. If it looks completely different from its original form, then that's something that I would say, hang on a minute, just take a step back before you just eat it with abandon.
Oh, there's somebody who needs feeding.
Yeah, that's my cat, yeah.
Thanks so much for that, Joe. Appreciate that. Joe Travers, nutritionist and author of The Low Fad Diet.